Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
But now,
welcome on into the midday show on a Funk Friday, a Football Friday. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael, Randy, it's a Friday, man. I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this already. But how you doing, man?
Man, what's happening, man? It is a Funk Friday here on the midday show. It is a big time football weekend in college. Obviously, not a redemption, but hopefully a bounce back game for the Atlanta Falcons. The Braves are closing out their season, which is still crazy to me. I know I just listened to the update. You know, get to see my man Charlie one more time. But yeah, man, it's all good over here. And also the Ryder Cup's on. We know how you feel, so we don't need you to go into your soliloquy of not rooting. Everything is cool, man. Yeah. But yeah, it's Friday, man. Even you can't mess up my mood today, but I know you'll try.
I'm gonna try. I got two and a half hours to do it.
I know you'll try though.
We're gonna try. Last night, week four got started in the NFL. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 23-20. 52-yard field goal, a walk off there for Myers. The illegal kickoff in terms of the landing spot.
I hate that damn rule. God, I hate that rule.
It's the only thing you couldn't do with 28 seconds left. Yep. It was the only thing you couldn't do is give them the ball at the 40. What we're talking about is a kick that landed short of the landing zone by 1 yard.
That's it.
He kicked it to the 21. I had to kick it to the 20. And unfortunately didn't get it there. They give great field position to the Seahawks right after they tied it up late. A big catch and throw, Sam Darnold to Jackson Smith and Jigba, 22 yards. They had to get a review, I guess, to see if he was inbounds, out of bounds, and they go ahead and win it from there.
Yeah, man. I mean, Jackson Smith and Jigba, he's a smooth cat, man. And that throw, first of all, the throw from Sam Darnold had a couple of throws last night.
That touchdown to Arroyo. Yeah,
unbelievable.
I think
throw.
It great was. Play call. Barner.
Play call also. But yeah, I mean, it sucks that it came down and been. You getting the ball on the 40-yard line because of 1 yard.
1 yard.
But give Seattle. It's Thursday night. I sat up and watched all of this game. And, Kyler Murray, I don't know whose fault it was on some of the first interceptions, all on Marvin Harris. You got to keep coming through that window. And that young brother, he's all the way in his head. You can just tell the way he's playing. He's too talented to be as inconsistent as he is, but all of that is in his head. But you got to come through that ball on that square end. But he did make up with it for a touchdown. And Arizona, they battled back and tried to win that football game. But, yeah, I mean, Sam Darnold's been playing pretty damn good. And then for their kicker who just missed the kick.
Missed the 53-yarder.
To make another one, and then to have the confidence on to run the ball instead of maybe trying to get a little bit closer. They're trying to position the ball for him. And the way it came out, so I thought it was no good.
It started swinging.
Yeah, I thought it was no good. But obviously it went in. And Seattle's 3-1. They're 3-1 and 2-0 in the division and get a mini bye and everything. They're going to be a problem. I mean, I think the biggest thing with them is Kenneth Walker got to stay healthy. He is their guy when they're running the football. And obviously they ran the ball 30-plus times last night. And so as long as he stays healthy and Sam Darnold can play within himself, Seattle's going to be all right because that defense is pretty good.
Yeah, and they got a couple of turnovers off Kyler Murray. Two interceptions, in fact. They also had six sacks on him, of Kyler Murray. I want to go back to Harrison here. He finally gets that touchdown. It's a really nice catch. It's the sort of catch that reminds you why we believe he could be that sort of dude.
Against a really good player, too.
But it was the emotion, reaction, whatever you want to call it, after the kick. It just looked like it finally came off of his shoulders.
It was a thank you God moment.
It was a finally.
Yes. And you saw that. And again, I think he's so talented. I think he has beaten himself up too much. And that's what happens. And, it's a situation where when you have the pressure or the expectation that he has, not saying it's too big for him, but just, coming off last week, had a big drop against the 49ers. And then, coming in early, the miscommunication between him and Kyler. Obviously, we talked about the interception. That's his fault. You can't.
Yeah.
And then the interception that came off his hands, the one on the slant route, that comes off his hands. So, he's in a situation where both interceptions are on you. And so he was in his head big time, but the kid bounced.
That's
back.
What I just keep hearing from different analysts is that he needs to play without thinking. It's just all in his head right now.
Just play.
Just play. He's good enough, quick enough, fast enough, strong enough, athletic enough that if he can just stop thinking, he'll be that guy that obviously we all tend to believe he can be. That's what kicked off week four. Obviously, the big one here locally is going to be the Falcons as they welcome in the Washington Commanders. They head into the bye week on the other side, and we're not going to do what we did yesterday in terms of that word we don't need to mention. Actually, there's a couple P words not to mention today. Yeah. Pistol,
yeah.
Playoffs, we're not going to get into either of those. Yeah. But I will say this, a win this week puts you at 2-2, Randy, and I think when you looked at your four-game schedule, it may have not been the two you thought you could have won. Right, if I had circled these four games and said I think they can go 2-2, you win at home against the Bucs and you win on the road against the Panthers, you're going to lose Monday night Minnesota. Sunday night Minnesota, and you're going to lose this one. I think that's what I would have expected. I think that having the potential with a win here to get to 2-2 is something you would have taken.
I think. I think that's why I don't do win loss.
Right.
That crap that people like to hold. As the gospel. They have an opportunity to, more than anything, like you said, be .500 going into their bye week. But more importantly, you have an opportunity to get that nasty taste out your mouth, get that national stain out your off your brand for this week. It doesn't look to me anything can happen Sunday. You wake up Monday because he still has today, tomorrow, and Sunday morning to be ready. Possibly is you don't know what the Washington quarterback situation is.
He looked
star wide receiver. He looked real gingerly.
And
so it's a possibility that he might not play this game. So you gotta know who your opponent is. They played against Marcus before. Marcus, you gotta eliminate those runs, eliminate those broken plays, because he is still a capable runner in this league, and he can spin it and everything. They've been running the ball a lot lately. Ran the ball really well last week against Vegas, but I think
the Falcons is that Kroski Merritt didn't practice yesterday
And so they're in a situation where if they got to rely solely on Marcus Mariota to win this football game, you can't let that happen.
This is a team, and again, to your point, we don't know what's going to happen Sunday morning and who's going to go. They could be without QB1, without wide receiver one, and potentially without who is currently running back one. Obviously, Eckler also hurt, so what would have been their top two running back. There's potential of that, but that doesn't mean that they can't get you. The one thing I want to see here, Randy, and we'll get into our keys to the game at 1:20. We're going to talk about Georgia quite a bit at 1 o'clock and later this hour as Rodney Nabalsi joins us in the middle hour as well. They talked about this wanting to be a team that runs the ball, and one of the big issues was this lack of identity for the Falcons over these first three games.
Right.
And to a point, sure, you can kind of make some arguments that game situation affected that, but I really don't buy that. I just don't think you ever went in with a mindset week three that we're going to run the ball and we're going to do this and that. I want to see that. I want to see this team work towards devoting themselves to the run, sticking with the run, and then finding something in the pass game off of the run. I didn't feel that way week three.
Well, I didn't either. And I think we've already talked about acknowledging them as far as the carries and the things like that. I don't think the game was too far to reach to continue to run the football. But if that's where they want to go with that game, is gone now. But they do need to establish the run because the young quarterback is struggling, and they got to play better around him. And he is, he knows this. I know, said we're going to flip the script and all that. All right, show me. I mean, that's where I'm at. You know, show me. You make the change with the wide receiver position. Show me, because I do believe this team is too talented to, especially on the outside. They have plenty of weapons to be able to be successful. But they have got to get open for him, and he's got to make the plays, got to make the throws. But it's going to start with Bijan. It's going to start with Tyler Algiers. They've got to run the ball. They need to be somewhere around 30 damn carries in this game, 30 or more carries in this game. I think that's going to help them. That's going to help Michael Penix. And it's going to, you know, it's going to reestablish what you say you want your identity to be if you run the ball that many times. Because right now, I mean, Bijan's averaging 5 damn yards a carry. That means that you need to give him the ball even more. And right now,
maybe not just one for Algier.
And please not one for Algiers. But it's usually the case when the run game is going, he's going too.
Yeah.
When their run game is looking the way it looks, he's above 10 carries. And so you got to figure out a way to get that done. And you know, Michael, we'll speak more on Michael. Michael's at 58% right now completion percentage. You can't win football games like that. You can't win in this league like that. And so he's got to go out and Zach's got to find a way to get him some easier throws early to get him in a better rhythm. And they've got to execute. I know you said yesterday, I would love to see them hit a big play this game. They have not hit any big pass plays. Mainly,
I think they're going to throw a deep play one, by the way.
Maybe because of how the safeties are playing them. But they got to find some explosiveness in this pass game. But more important, they got to get some consistency in this pass game.
And here's the other thing. And if you want to talk about Michael Penix going up to the guys on defense and saying, hey, I need to be better, both in game week 3 and over the course of this week, that's all fine.
Yeah.
Talking about being better and being better are not the same thing. And it was such a he was such a broken quarterback in that one game. I'm not saying him overall, but in that game, everything was off, right? And we talked about it mechanically, his reads, whatever. It was off. You're talking about I need to be better, and that's fine. Let's be better. And I think everything you said is accurate, Randy. You could be better by getting things going for Bijan Robinson, not just in the run game, but also some easy passes to get Bijan the ball in space, let him do his thing, make it easy for Penix, and then, yes, find something over the top, ideally. I think they're going deep first play. I think we've seen Zach Robinson do this before where there's just a mountain of criticism,
right?
And then he just comes out and is like, all right, you think we don't throw the ball deep? Here's me throwing. So I think they're going deep play one, maybe play two. Like I just expect that. So we'll see how it comes out.
It's a possibility. Hey, guys, this is a huge weekend up there at Athens. And our boys, Dukes and Bell, they're going to be getting you ready for it. They're midnight of the game. They're going to be up there at Grindhouse Killer Burgers. It's right on Lumpkin Street. They'll get you locked in for the big game. They're going to have some special guests. I'm sure some people are going to come through there. That's my main man, Johnny. Killer Burgers up there at Grindhouse on Lucky Street in Athens. That's where Dukes and Bell will be today, 2-6.
A little bit more from Raheem Morris as the Falcons prepare for the Commanders coming up next. Also, our first thoughts on a big Saturday in college football as well. This hour of the Midday Show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Midday Show rolls on. It's Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael, Bo Johnson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly outside of Cleveland, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're trying to figure it out, you know, each and every day we getting better. You know, I feel like it's always in the game plan, and, you know, whenever those opportunities are called, we got to take advantage of them, and I feel like we haven't been taking advantage of them whenever they have been called, and I feel like that's the only difference, you know, just haven't been taking advantage of it, and we got to start doing that.
Michael Penix, Falcons quarterback, talking about deep shots and trying to find ways to connect on them, be it with a receiver or if it's a missed read, whatever the disconnect is, maybe a little gun shy to pull on that one. But this is something that needs to be a facet of the Atlanta Falcons passing game, Randy, and it just hasn't been.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look league wide, there's not a lot of big throws. A lot of teams are playing. Who was the guy on TV said they need to get rid of the too deep or whatever it was? I think it was Mel Kiper that said something about it and everything, and everybody got all up in their feelings about it. But they're taking it away. And the biggest thing what he can't do is force it, though. Just because you want it to happen, you don't force it and do something stupid. And that's what I was thinking about, you know, yesterday when I was talking about, like, they should be 2-1 if you go back and you watch the game and watch the touchdowns that were missed. Well, he's missed Kyle on two of them on the same damn play. You don't think Dan Quinn and him saw that? You don't think Dan Quinn and him studied the film and watched this dude? So my biggest thing is, like, if the play is called and you just automatically, like, okay, I got to hit Kyle because it's been open two more times, they'll bait you into that. So you got to be smart with the football. So I just think, you know, the biggest thing that you do when you have the safeties where they're playing the Falcons for the most part, it's not all the time, but for the most part, is you got to run their ass up out of it. You got to run them up out of that. You've got to make them add more people to the run, to the box, so that you can get those one-on-one, that single high type safety look, and then you can go ahead and take those shots. But the more important thing is they got to make the throw. They got to make the catch for it to, you know, just throwing it up there. Like you were talking about starting the game with a shot. Well, what's the point of just throwing it down there? Just because so you can, like, oh, well, the fans
just so you can
dude.
Tell people you did. See, which that, is dumb. I understand that's what I'm saying. That's why I said it yesterday.
I was like, you listen to the fans, you'll be in the stands
right.
with them. I mean,
that's
not a good enough reason if you're going to do that. But I think that, you know, just have to be consistent. I'm talking about Michael with his mechanics and his feet and all those different things. But, yeah, if they're going to continue to play like that, you got to be able to run them out that way because they're playing with a lighter box.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Ask about it.
We'll talk about the rest of the NFL schedule at noon when we get to the NFL No Huddle. Again, the Cardinals fell to the Seahawks on a 52-yard field goal, 23-20 kickoff short of the zone there. Puts the ball at the 40, and the Seahawks with 28 seconds left, able to get in position for a game-winning field goal. College football kind of got underway last night. Army and East Carolina. East Carolina took it to Army 28-6, I think. And I think they used a graduate student walk-on as a holder in a fake field goal, Randy, that went for a touchdown.
Oh, okay. Well, so, I'm glad you're telling me because I damn sure didn't watch that one.
It was a nice fake. That was a great run, but that was not watched on
my television.
It happened to be on at trivia, so I was paying attention. It was 14-0 and then 21-0, and at the end of the first quarter, I think it was 21-0. We're like, all right, ECU's winning this one. Actually, a pretty good trio of games tonight. Number 8, Florida State at Virginia. Number 24, TCU at Arizona State. Learn a little bit about TCU in that one, and then Houston, Oregon State a little bit later there. Georgia Tech, number 16th in the land. They travel to play Wake Forest at noon Eastern time. I'm always terrified of noon kickoffs.
Especially on the road.
There's just something about it where it's so easy to be flat.
Especially on the road.
Exactly.
Yeah, especially on the road.
And
I think that the one thing, the biggest thing about what Georgia Tech has is that their formula travels everywhere, no matter what time of day it is. And this formula will travel with Haynes King and Haynes, you know, running that offense and doing what they do, because Wake Forest is not very good. Robert Ashford, I mean, he's who he's always been. You know? I think that's the biggest thing right there is that, you know, Claiborne's a nice running back, but they got to figure out a way to try, and the one thing that's probably been Georgia Tech's Achilles heel is turning the ball over.
Right.
And so they can't go up there turning the ball over. And given this team,
they escaped that in Colorado, this
overmatched Wake Forest team opportunities because you're messing around and fumbling the ball and those things like that. So as long as Georgia Tech takes care of the ball, they'll win this game pretty easy. But
you would think so.
That's been their Achilles. They've had turnovers in every game.
This is the first time they're hunted.
And a lot of them have been going in, especially against Colorado.
Right.
You know, you had one against Clemson 2 weeks ago. So as long as they play clean, and they can play and still beat Wake Forest, how bad Wake Forest is. But like I said, noon game on the road with an upset-minded team, that can be a dangerous thing. But yeah. I don't think Brent Key and his team would have a letdown.
No, I don't think so either. But this is really the first time under Key or Collins before him, really in a while, that Georgia Tech is going to play a season as the team that's hunted. Yeah. They're going to be favored in most of these games. They're going to get the opponent's best shot for whatever that best shot is going to be. I'd like to believe that if they play anywhere close to their potential, that it's just not good enough for Wake Forest. But yeah, noon kickoffs always scare me, as you mentioned, on the road. Number 5, Georgia. Number 17, Alabama, under the lights on ABC. And Kirby Smart, a little bit wary of what Alabama's bringing in. He watched the film against Florida State and says Ty Simpson can do a lot more than what he showed in just that game.
I didn't realize, in the Florida State game, it was – as messy and sloppy as the weather was at times, like we were playing a game during that time. So I had no idea until last week. You go watch and you're like, oh, okay, it was a rainy, sloppy game. In the other games he's played, there's been no sloppiness. I mean, he's accurate, he's quick with the ball, he's a good decision maker, and has made some elite throws. So they're clicking right now offensively for sure.
Yeah, the weather was a problem, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I think just how Florida State, their mindset to come in that game, Bama wasn't ready for all of that. And I think that, and that showed. Now, they're a very talented football team that has flaws, but I think they're playing well and they got their cohesion, but look who they went against. I think that's one thing that you got to view. Wisconsin's not very good. Who was it? Louisiana Monroe, I think they beat down before that. But I'm not, don't get it twisted. Georgia's got an Alabama problem. And whether it's there or here or in Atlanta, Kirby has not beaten this team. Now, he had his biggest win of his career against them, which was the national championship. But at the same time, they still are a good football team who has just as much talent as Georgia and whose quarterback is playing at a high level. I think that, Ryan Williams gets all the praise as he should, but Bernard, he's a bad boy.
Yes, sir.
He's a bad boy right there. Then you look defensively, they can get after you. They're big, they're physical, but they're in the same boat as Georgia. They don't rush the passer consistently. I think, when it comes down to this game, whoever runs the ball better and jams back for them, and then who can get the quarterback on the ground.
Yeah. The thing that took me by surprise in that Florida State game was that Alabama got pushed around.
They did.
By the Seminoles.
They did.
That is
on both lines of scrimmage.
Both sides. Yeah. 100% on both sides. That, to me, is the response. If I'm looking at Alabama and I say this is what needs to be different from the loss against Florida State, that can't happen again.
Right.
And Georgia, especially on the offensive line, where there are some questions because of injury right now, you can't get pushed around if you're Alabama. You have to at least play even there to give yourselves a chance on defense. And they go from there because you can't get punked like you did.
But they're getting some of their guys back. Overton's coming back.
Right.
And he's been out for the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And this thing about him is we know he's a stud up front. He's the leader on their defense. And that's the thing about it. They got healthy at the right time. They got all their dudes back.
Yeah.
With the week before Georgia. And so when you look at that, I mean, we'll talk to Rod in a minute so he can give us a final maybe of as far as who's in and out for the Dogs on their offensive line. But, yeah, Bama is coming in wanting to, because you see all week where they're like Bama's chance to make the playoffs if they lose.
They've been hearing it since that loss.
Their backs against the wall, all those different things like that. I don't give a damn about that. Everybody, they both need this damn football game. Georgia needs this game just as bad, if not more, than Bama does. But I think it's going to be another class. My brother-in-law just texted me because he's a big, big Alabama fan, trying to get in my head, talking about, I don't know if we could block Georgia. Don't be trying that with me. Don't be trying that crap with me, man. It's going to be a good damn game, and I think it's going to probably be another classic.
Yeah, I think it's a big one. Well, we'll talk with Roddy about it, like you mentioned. Roddy Nabulsi of UGA Sports is coming up in our next segment. Braves are going to wrap up the season here over the course of the weekend at home against the Pirates. We know about Sunday and what the plan is there. Charlie Morton going to get the ball.
Big old Charlie!
Who knows? I mean, I know they're calling it an opener. I think you just kind of let him run for as long as he feels relatively good. And then, like I said, I think you find a way, and this is not the ideal way for Chris Sale to come in. I think you have to pull him mid-inning at some point.
I hope so.
So he can get the proper walk-off.
All right, Charlie. Good job, Charlie.
And so, unfortunately, not looking for much else besides that.
No.
2020 season for a couple of guys out there, and Drake Baldwin maybe trying to make a final push for NL Rookie of the Year, and it depends on who you ask where he stands on that. But that's where you go there. Atlanta United on the road. They're going to be facing the New England Revolution. Four matches left in this season, three straight on the road here. This is the first of those three. Some good news for United, though. Garth Lagerwey,
yeah, man.
Returning to work in a limited capacity. Yeah. He's through the first phase of his treatment. Yeah. So that was a nice bit of news to you.
Yeah, man. I saw that when you put that on the rundown, man. Just happy that he's back. Like you said, limited capacity. Doubt he's up there with the team. But anytime you have a health scare like him, anytime you can find a way to get back to work and do something, it's a good deal. So good for Garth, man.
Ryder Cup going on right now. Not going well for the United States. They're down 3-0 already. And I'm not exactly sure they're going to be able to secure this final match. So it might be 3.5 to 0.5 here in just a couple of minutes. They got 17 and 18 to play, and right now this match, the one that's still alive with Schauffele and Cantlay, is tied through 16. So it would be nice if the U.S. can secure a point heading into the afternoon foursomes. Best ball. So that's what's going on with the Ryder Cup. This hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Coming up next, Alabama and Georgia Saturday night on ABC. Ronnie Nabulsi, UGASports.com, is going to break it all down for us. So stick around on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Crime mob. What? No. What? What? No. Give me buck. No. Yeah. Well, I'm a ghetto.
Welcome back into the midday show. Abe Gordon, Randy McMichael here on a Friday. That song, the choice of one, Roddy Nabulsi, UGASports.com. He joins us on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. Roddy, it sounds like Georgia is ready for a fight.
Yeah, they absolutely are. The question is, can they get it done? I was all week long, I've been picking Alabama to win this game just based on the fact that Georgia plays differently when they play Alabama. It's right. It's the same thing. You know, they would try different things against Alabama trying to break the streak. And from what I'm hearing from inside the program, they're treating this like they did the Tennessee game. They're not treating it any differently than any other game. They're a lot calmer, not as much tension. They're focusing on themselves, as they say. And I don't think that this squad of kids has the same mental block that, you know, past Georgia teams did. I don't think Kirby's going to treat this game differently like he has past Alabama games. The problem is Georgia's not as talented as they used to be. But nor is Alabama. So I'm going to wind up picking Georgia to win this one, basically, you know, on the fact that it's a home game, and I think Georgia has a better running game. The team that can run the ball better wins this football game. If Georgia can run and keep Alabama off the field, then, you know, Ty Simpson can't pick you apart. So I'm going with Georgia, and I think this might be the one where they kind of get that monkey off their back, and, you know, the Georgia players bow up. They know how much this means to Kirby, and they know how much it means to the Georgia fan base. They've got a record of homes to protect, so they're ready to knock.
Roddy, what's the health of Georgia right now? I know that, you know, it looks like Ernest Renn's going to still be out, but what's going on, especially up front for the offensive line?
Well, you're going to have Bo Hewley out there and Juan Gaston. Juan Gaston's back. I thought that, and I know he got work during the week at right tackle, And I thought, okay, that kid's really good. The problem is if you put him at right tackle and start the game that way, then you have, you know, maybe Dontrell Glover and Juan Gaston side by side, two true freshmen.
Right,
two guys
right.
who've, you know, are going up against Alabama. And maybe they would do fantastic, you know. And then he's like, well, what if we bring Micah Morris, you know, the senior from the left side, and put him on the right side so that each guy has an upperclassman, you know, beside them. Well, then you're kind of messing up the, you know, continuity that you have on the left side, which right. has been kind of reliable for you. So it gets a little tricky over there. So I think they'll basically start Bo Hewley, who, you know, he played 15 snaps at Tennessee and did pretty good. I mean, couldn't have played worse than Georgia had been playing to that point. So, you know, now's Bo's chance. You know, he needs to knuckle up. You know, this is a guy who, if you want to be the – and I don't think Ernest Green's going to be back for some time.
Right.
So if you really – here's your chance. You want to be a pro? You want to be the man? You come in and you save the right side of that offensive line with Big Juan beside you, and you claim it. We've seen guys do this in the past. They come in, I think like Warren McClendon. Every year we kept saying, who's going to take Warren McClendon's job? You know, that Kirby got a new five-star offensive tackle. And Warren McClendon is like, nobody's taking my damn job. So that's – I think this might be Bo Hewley's chance to shine.
Roddy, when I look at Georgia heading into the bye week, coming off of that Tennessee game, and I look at what Alabama brings at quarterback, but more specifically at wide receiver, and you saw certainly what Williams and Bernard can do over the course of last year in that Georgia game, but through the early stages of this year as well at times – the big question to me is, can Georgia's defense hold up against the big play differently than it did against Alabama? They've had a week to plan and prep for that, but I just don't know if I feel any different right now about the secondary and about the pass rush preventing Ty Simpson from going deep.
Yeah, you shouldn't. Georgia has, I mean, they were exposed against Tennessee. We kept talking about how, you know, can Ellis Robinson take on, you know, Daniel Spott, you know, Daylon Everett's kind of a lockdown corner. And come to see that, you know, Baylen has issues on short passes, and the other side is just a pass interference call waiting to happen or a big play. So there should not be a lot of confidence in Georgia's secondary. You have a really good safety in K.J. Bolden, but that's only one. Mm. You don't have a second safety that you're like, ah, look at what he's doing. I mean, even when you had K.J. was a freshman, you know, at least you still had Dan Jackson who could come back there and play. And then, you know, you had guys like Kamari Lasser on one side, and remember Darian Kendrick on another side, and you're like, okay, we can put Georgia's guys on an island. And then, you know, the safeties are going to come up and knock heads and stop the run, and they can help out in bracket coverage. You just don't have that same confidence in it, and you don't have confidence that Georgia can get to the quarterback and affect him, you know, with a lot of sacks and hurries and you know, rush plays to really get into his face. So you've got to be worried about the secondary. So I think it's going to come down to Georgia's going to have to scheme around it. They're going to have to go against what Kirby normally likes to do, which is, you know, he likes to take away the run and load up and make you beat him through the air. I think with the questions that Alabama has in the run game, you protect the pass first, dare them to run the ball, then rely on your guys up front to stop that. So it'll be, like I said, that's not Kirby treating Alabama differently. That's just treating that offense as great at throwing the ball, whereas you're weak at defending it, and they have a more questionable run game, and you have a pretty good run defense. So I think the idea there is just, you know, you're going to have to help out your secondary because they haven't shown that they can stop anybody yet.
I think, Roddy, how much of that is attributed to the Tennessee offense? Because, I mean, Kirby, he wants to play man-to-man. We understand that. That's what he wants to do. So do you attribute any of that to the Tennessee defense, or is it just these guys aren't where they need to be? Because these are both – I mean, hell, three of these guys are all five-star, as people like, whatever that means for the people, five-star guys playing cornerback.
Yeah, well, they're not as good as they should be.
Right.
That's just that. We can sugarcoat it. We can rip the recruiting rankings. We can. You know, I'm in the recruiting business. Been doing it, you know, 30 some odd years. And sometimes you overhype a guy, you know. And Ellis Robinson's got the tools. When Georgia got Daylon Everett away from Clemson at the last second, I'm like, this is huge for Georgia, and he has been. And most of the time down the field, Daylon Everett is locked down. Now, short passes, you know, slants, hitches, he'll give those up. But no one will go, you know, completely undefeated in a secondary. But when you look at the other side, it's like, should I go after number 7? Should I go after number 1? Yeah, it should. And then if you've got Janelle Aguero at star and he's in man coverage, he's going to get burned. It's just going to happen. So now in zone, he's very good. Against the run, he's fantastic. So these are good players. They're not elite. And when you're going up against Ryan Williams, he's elite. Right. And we saw that Tennessee has some elite playmakers on the edge, and they gashed Georgia. So you got good guys, but they're not shutdowns like you've had in the past. So I think the Georgia fans have to just accept the fact that you've got very good players, but you don't have the dominance that you used to because, I mean, there's so many Georgia players who were starting elsewhere. You got a starting cornerback at Penn State. You know, right. You got your best pass rusher is starting at Missouri. Yeah, hey, your starting quarterback is actually at Miami. So it's the parity and the transfer in the transfer portal and through NIL has affected these teams like Ohio State, Alabama, and Georgia.
Roddy Nabalsi, UGASports.com. Roddy, I know Kirby Smart called him the hottest quarterback in college football, but in reality, what do you think Ty Simpson is right now? What does he need to be for the Crimson Tide on Saturday night?
That is a quarterback capable of winning a championship by making quick decisions, getting the ball out fast, getting it to the right guys, and being accurate. The one thing you can't teach in college football, you know, quarterbacking, is accuracy. You can teach them how to read. You can teach them all these other things. But accuracy is just like speed. You either have it or you don't. And he has it. So he doesn't have the best, you know, scrambling ability. But Alabama's won multiple championships with a quarterback who, you know, had lead feet. So, it's completely different offenses, completely different coaches, but I'm just saying when you have that amalgamation of talent around you, he's going to distribute the ball, he's going to protect it, and he's going to be a very good quarterback. There's a reason that he was so highly ranked, and he's, again, 41 to 46, I don't care who it is. That's phenomenal. You had 7 touchdowns to 5 incompletions in that same span. That's hard to do in practice, so I give him all the credit in the world. Now, can he do that away from Tuscaloosa? Can he do that on the road? Can he do it in front of a hostile crowd? Can he do it with facing a much better secondary than he's faced so far? Yeah, that's where the question comes in. So we'll know a lot more about him. Just like last week was a revelation about what would Georgia have in Gunnar Stockton, you will now know what you have in Ty Simpson.
Roddy, is this offense right now, Georgia's offense, is it just as good or better than last year's offense right now?
I think it's better.
Okay.
Mainly because what could you not do last year? You couldn't run the ball.
Right.
Well, these guys can run it. And, of course, every time Georgia runs it, everyone pulls their hair out, and I'm like, this is what Kirby Smart wants to do. I hope in this game that Georgia never throws it. I would love to see them just – if you can run it all day. Run it 11 times, punch it in the end zone. Just keep – because I don't have faith in Georgia's defense. So if Georgia can keep the ball for, you know, ball control, no turnovers, go back, make this like a 1978 game, a 1981 game. Make it a ball control, you know, ground and pound offense. Give me that against this team. Get out there with a W. You've proven that you can throw it deep when you need to. And, again, that's not saying don't hit Colby Young and don't go to Zach Branch. Branch might have a huge game. Might even see Noah Thomas have a breakout game. Mm-hmm. Not just speculating. Georgia has a lot of talent on the edges, but last year they couldn't stop the run and they couldn't run the ball. This year they can run the ball. So just from that status alone, I will give this offense more a higher grade than last year's. Now, they've only played one tough game.
Right.
But they did put up 44 points. So, in your one test, you've proved it. So, and with a small sample size, we'll say this offense is better than last year's.
The AP poll doesn't ultimately mean much, Roddy, but if Georgia wins this game, no matter how it looks, do you think they'll get at least one first-place vote?
Yeah, I think they'll start to get the benefit of the doubt, just like, Alabama did for years and Ohio State's done for years. I think you'll have one person out there saying, okay, they took on a good Tennessee team. They took on a good Alabama team. Let's see who do they have next. Texas isn't filling us with fear. Florida, yeah, they got that one. Kentucky, sure. Yeah, so they were, or Mississippi State, they start going down the list, and a lot of those voters, based on where they think things are going to wind up, not how the teams are today. And then, you know, and the others vote differently, which is why you see an 0-2 ranked Notre Dame still being ranked. It's like, wait a minute. You're obviously voting on what you think is going to happen at the end. Do you think they'll be back in it? There's no way you can rank an 0-2 team as a top 25 team based on what you've seen so far. So my point is, you're going to see at least one voter say, "Hey, yeah, I think Georgia's got it all together." They also getting the monkey off their back, beating Alabama. That one, the one thing Kirby Smart has not done. He's won championships. He's won conferences. He's changed the mathematics in every rivalry that Georgia has, be it Tennessee, South Carolina, Auburn, Florida. He has turned all those narratives on their head. But the one he hasn't done is Alabama. And if he beats them, I think people are going to be like, okay, Saban's gone, Kirby's still here, and Kirby is not – he doesn't have to contend with Alabama anymore. So let's give them a number one vote.
Roddy, appreciate your time as always. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Appreciate you, my boy.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right.
Sounded like he flipped over the course of that interview. Started real quickly within Alabama.
Nobody's dead, Roddy.
I know. He went to Georgia winning this thing pretty quickly, and I think that's where I'm at as well. We'll have a more breakdown of this game, though, Randy, at 1 o'clock. We'll get into keys to the game for Georgia. 1:20, we'll get into keys to the game for the Atlanta Falcons.
Sports Talk on the game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games all season long. Kick off with the juicy one this weekend, Jabe. Washington at the Atlanta Falcons. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. It said kick off the juicy Week 4.
And Week 4 kind of got juicy. Kicked off last night. That was a juicy game last night. Seahawks beat the Cardinals. We'll talk about that one
Did
also.
Did you see that necklace that dude had on?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Which one?
I don't know which corner it was for Seattle, but he had like a big-ass lock man medallion or whatever it was.
Like, was it as part of a celebration?
He wore it to the stadium. It looked like a damn.
Who got their necklace ripped a week ago? Was it Russ? Was it Dak? Someone got one ripped on the field.
Why wear that on the field? I mean, I understand you don't want to give it to nobody. And usually when you give your jewelry to the security, they put it in a safe in the locker room back in the – yeah. But
someone got it tore up on the field. I don't know if they stopped play to grab the rocks or what.
They found Julio's earring yet.
All right, when we come back, we'll get into the NFL No Huddle. Week 4 in the NFL, we'll tell you what's going on. It's Randy Michael, Abe Gordon, Bo Johnson on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.